All right, I think we're good. Token Smart Podcast, special episode. Done a few of these special episodes. The one last time we did with Metageist was really cool, but this is a individual special episode. Done a handful of those as well. Most recent one, I think, was Easy, which was a great one for people who haven't checked that out. But I'm super stoked to be here with the Meow Meow herself, Sandy Meows. And I've been looking forward to this just to sort of get a handle on where the hell the Meow Meow came from in the first place. It seemed like she sort of appeared out of nowhere, at least on my end. And we scooped her up as quick as humanly possible. And she's been blowing it up for us on our behalf ever since then. And looking forward to talking about, where she came from and also a lot of the cool stuff that we've got coming up, that we've been cooking up behind the scenes and everything. So what up, Meow Meow? Welcome.
What up? Super excited to be on this side of your world, you know, being behind the mic in this way in the podcast. Hi, everyone.
Seems like it's been a long time coming. Like this had to happen at some point sooner or later. And I know you've been doing a ton of editing for us and helping out behind the scenes. And my biggest fear when we brought you on board was, I'm like, oh my God, she's going to get so sick of hearing our voices. And like, you know, she doesn't even get the edited copy. She gets like the unedited, not that there's a ton of
editing. I get all the 411, all the inside info first.
Right. Yeah. All this top secret stuff. But you know, honestly, Sandy, and I'm thinking back and it was in my head, hilarious the way that we sort of stumbled upon each other in the first place, because I had actually been gifted a parcel in CryptoVoxels very generously by Tubador and was moving into my parcel, and the place next door had a bunch of like really bizarre, I shouldn't offend my neighbors, they're probably very nice, I haven't been over there in a little while, but let's just say some interesting, somewhat obsessive cat creations all over their walls and floors and ceilings and everything, and I'm like, what the hell is going on over here? And I took a screenshot and tagged a couple people, including Sandy Meows, and I was just like, is this your handiwork? Are we neighbors now? And it turned out that was that had nothing to do with anything. But then ever since then, I remember you sort of popping up at our events, and I think it was one of the events we did in Pranksyland at the Hub in Voxel Architects that I think I walked out and you were like behind the concession stand as if you were like, you know, selling stuff to people. And then I was like giving you a hard time about standing in the fountain. And you had like, actually, I forget exactly what you said, but something witty.
I was just trying to cool off.
Right. Some witty retort, like right off the bat. And it just seemed like, you know, you were destined to come on this side of the fold and everything. But you know, once I dove a little bit further into what you've been doing, I saw you had this YouTube channel that you had been working on, and obviously your own parcel in CryptoVoxels that you have this epic cat head that I believe you said was created by Ogar. So
yeah,
so you've you know got some serious street cred in this space, and it seemed like we just hadn't crossed paths too much up until that point. So really genuinely interested in how you sort of fell into NFT land and what your background is in this space in general.
Yeah. So my journey began in 2018 with CryptoKitties. I think everybody starts either, you know, I hear a lot of people start with CryptoKitties, but that's how I started. And of course, I had to start with cats, and the name Sandy Meows came way before even NFT land. So I was like, okay, this is going to be me and that's it. And I just started collecting CryptoKitties. I started also breeding them as well. And that's funny that you mentioned the story of of your whole parcel. And I was so excited. I was so excited to build. And then I see Tubador coming in and chiming in. And then he started doing everything. He did an amazing job with your pad. So that was awesome. I definitely did not want to take credit for the whole cat neighbor because, you know, it was not me. But funny story with Tubador, he and I were also in, I guess, in a bidding war for one of the parcels that I wanted in Proton, Proton World. And then your parcel kind of united us, Rizzle.
Yeah,
and then we became friends shortly after. I was just visiting and doing stuff with Crypto Voxels, and I kept seeing this thing popping up, the whip, and I just showed up. I just wanted to do more stuff with Crypto Voxels, and this seemed like the perfect atmosphere to be a part of. And sure enough, no regrets.
It was destined to be. So take me back even like farther, because I'm like, you know, agreed 1,000% that a lot of people made their way into this space through CryptoKitties. But how did you ever even like stumble upon crypto in the first place? Or like, you know, I feel like that's a huge barrier to entry for a lot of people. So just interested in your story on like how that even became a thing that you were either interested in, or was it crypto first and then CryptoKitties, or was CryptoKitties sort of your segue into cryptocurrencies in general, or how did that all sort of take shape?
It was definitely Dogecoin that got me into the crypto world. I had downloaded Robinhood. I'm like, oh, I want to be a cool crypto person collector. And I started collecting Dogecoin. Like, I thought I was gonna get super rich out of it. And I was just stacking. And I'm like, no, this is not working out. I'm like not even making any money. And then I got into Bitcoin. And then I'm not a great trader. I was just stacking. But then shortly after, NFTs were introduced to me. And that's how I got started. So Dogecoin.
That, I feel like that's actually one of the, you know, I bet that's not terribly uncommon. You know, when I remember way back during the Dogecoin explosion and just thinking to myself, I'm like, this is the dumbest shit, that there's no way this is actually going to take off. And, you know, shame on me for like not recognizing, you know, the birth of the meme coin or whatever. But I was just astounded when it was like essentially memed into existence and, you know, became, you know, a real functional thing that still has some utility to this day and everything. So I'm sure you're not the only one, but probably the first one I've come across in doing these podcasts that is, it seems, you know, Sandy Meows, you know, coming this way from Dogecoin, it seems to all play in with the, you know, the meow, meow narrative with the animals and everything.
So wow, so amazed.
So would you care to dive into the history of how the name Sandy Meows actually came up? I know you said it goes beyond crypto.
I just wanted a cute name. I wanted a cute name, fair. And I wanted it to include something with the cat, because I just love cats. And I'm like, okay, well, what is it? Sandy Meows. And yeah, I had gone through different usernames, but this one has stuck since a while. I'm like, maybe like a good 10 years. Even my friends call me them. It's funny that you mentioned me, you named me like the Meow Meow. And it's like, literally, that's how people real life call me, a lot of coworkers, and like, oh, Sandy Meows, Meow Meow. Or so, yeah.
Nice. That's good. Cause I was going to say, you know, at this point, you know, and I'm sort of in the same boat where like, you know, the screen name has sort of become like how people know you and everything. So I was going to say at this point, you're essentially always Sandy Meows for the rest of your crypto life, at least. So I didn't realize.
Yeah. No, and I think about this, it's like I'm gonna be 80 years old one day, and they're like, I'm the Sandy Meow Meow.
You're gonna be the original like old crypto cat lady, the first one.
Oh my gosh, I will.
Yeah, it's good. You should wear it with a badge of honor.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, and I hate to sort of pigeonhole you into like speaking on behalf of like a entire gender or whatever, but I, you know, I always hear show at the Whip Afties sort of railing on how this space in general is sort of like one dimensional in terms of it, you know, basically it's just a lot of dudes, and it's hard to really, you know, in the metaverse, know people's ethnic background or where they're from geographically. But the one thing we can be pretty sure of is that it's mostly dudes, regardless of ethnicity or geographical barriers, which, you know, I don't think, or at least in my head, I'd like to think that it's a fairly welcoming space in general. But I do feel like you are obviously not an anomaly in terms of being a female in this space, but I know shows always railing about, like, you know, we want to keep this space diverse and accepting, and which I agree with 100%. And one of the reasons that I was drawn to you personally is because I feel like you've got a great way about you, which reminds me in a lot of ways of Easy in crypto and of Jim. And I feel like I lump you into the same category in terms of people who are like very transparent, who like wear their heart on their sleeve. And that's like one of the things I truly love about both of those people is that, you know, Easy is Easy. He's 100% easy all the time. And you know exactly what his deal is. And, you know, same thing. That's immediately why I love Jim is, you know, Jim's got sort of an abrasive personality to some people, but I love that Jim is Jim. And you always know that he's being 100%, you know, Jim. And I feel like you come across the exact same way, which is why I felt like an immediate connection with you. And I just feel like that's so rare, especially for, this is my long way of getting back to the gender conversation. I feel like that's so rare in this space, especially amongst females who might be like understandably like apprehensive about like venturing into a male dominated space, or just might not be as forthright about like putting themselves out there. And that's why I thought you were so dope from the beginning. You were just like, whatever. like, I'm Sandy Meows. The meow meow is here to play and doesn't give a shit. I love that. But I am really interested to hear your take on like, is it weird, like being amongst this many men in a male dominated space? I've noticed personally, like there's a very obvious uptick in the amount of females at least hanging out in our Discord and everything. And I don't think it's because of me. I think it's because of you and, you know, the culture that we've collectively cultivated. But, you know, on some very basic level, I feel like, you know, you need cool females to get cool females, you know, comfortable hanging out and everything. So that was a giant mouthful, and I'll pass the mic over to you because I am like genuinely interested in what your thoughts are on that whole topic.
Well, I think it's definitely just intimidating. And I think it's also intimidating for men as well. But I think because there's a large community of men in there, I think it's easier to just latch onto someone and get help. My friend who helped me with crypto, he's a male, and he definitely assisted me with everything. It's intimidating, and I do see more females messaging me, asking me for assistance when it comes to stuff with, especially in Discord with the bots and stuff like that, or just simple questions like, is this a scam or whatnot? But it all comes to inclusivity. And the reason why I feel like I don't feel that gender gap, it's just because it feels like we're friends. Like, you know, we just feel so, I feel so comfortable. And I don't see any of that gender gap. You know, that's often brought up. Not only that, but I see people like Josie and Katie and so many other female artists in the space too, that they inspire me and make me want to move forward with, you know, whatever that it is that I'm doing. I don't. So, you know, yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. It's just, I feel so comfortable. Awesome. I feel inclusive. Yeah.
Do you like, so one of my biggest fears is because, you know, behind the scenes, I'm like, you know, I've been saying to you, I'm like, yo, Sandy, get you doing more shit because, you know, I just feel like you got a great personality and people really like your vibe and everything. And one of my biggest fears is that I convince you to do something and, you know, you end up getting like sexually harassed or like some, you know, creepy dude starts stalking you or something like that. And, you know, to the point where like, I actually saw there was some show and you've been crushing it at all these shows going on in our Discord. And I haven't been able to make every single one of them, but I try to at least lurk periodically and just sort of see how things were going. And there was one time where you had said, you had just made some message and it turned out they just had a hot mic. It was like, everyone, please remember to be respectful and turn their mics off. And I had this like visceral reaction. And I was like, oh my God, is someone harassing Sandy? I'll get in there and start killing avatars or something. If I have to. Because, you know, I feel like that's very important. And, you know, in a, you know, male dominated space, you know, the whip has been compared in some places to somewhat of a frat party atmosphere, which I think is appealing to a lot of people and I think is fun, but I also don't want it to go down some sort of like, you know, horribly chauvinistic or like toxic type of like environment or culture. And so, you know, I know I asked you a little bit about that the other day and it seemed like for the most part, everyone's been pretty cool for the most part. And it has been a decent like community environment. And I mean, you're telling me everything I want to hear, but I feel like at some point the shoe's going to drop or at some point some asshole's going to come in here or something. And, you know, it sounds like you haven't had a lot of that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I would probably say it's maybe like a good 99% where it's just been such a fun atmosphere. But, you know, there is unfortunately that 1%. And it's also really sad to see how this is expected to be sexually harassed. You know, it shouldn't be expected to be sexually harassed. Nobody should even go through that, male or female. But it is it's a tough subject, and it's one of those things that unfortunately it's going to happen. I know in the beginning of the Crypto Voxels time when I started, there was someone who was, you would say, I guess stalking me, and it was pretty scary. It started with them like just sending me a lot of hearts and a lot of love, but because I started just building a Crypto Voxels, maybe they took me ignoring them, and it wasn't me ignoring them. I was just really into building and doing my own thing. I think they took that into like, oh well, this girl's ignoring me, F you, and then I started to get like all of these really mean messages that really got to me, and I started reaching out. I remember even reaching out to Pixels and like, hey, do you know this person, or searching them on OpenSea and stuff like that, and even in Decentraland, I'm pretty new to that environment as well, and same thing happened where I just left my computer on, and somebody said, hey, Sandy. And because I didn't respond right away, I was busy doing something. I literally have like 100 windows open. So I didn't see this message. And because I didn't respond, their initial response was, oh, you're such a bitch. And it's really sad to see that. It's like, no, you know, I think it speaks more of that person who speaks that way, you know, and their value, their morals when they treat someone else like that. But I do have to 100% in the Token Smart Discord, no one has been, everybody has been respectful. And I'm so appreciative. I'm so grateful to be a part of such a respectful community where, you know, I could say 100% of the males that I've encountered there have been 100% respectful. It happens more in, you know, in Crypto Voxels and Decentraland where I feel they could hide behind something. And it's usually that because I'm pretty sure they wouldn't do that in my face.
When you were saying in the beginning, and maybe I misunderstood you, that women sort of expect to be sexually harassed, and maybe I'm not like quoting that perfectly, but it just got me thinking. I'm like, is there some sort of expectation or some, maybe not expectation, but like some sort of like, you know, thing in the back of your head anytime you go into some sort of male dominated like landscape that you've just got to be on guard or just know that there's like a decent chance something like that is going to happen? Like, is that something in the crypto space as well?
I don't think that it's like totally it's not that it's expected, and I don't know if that's the right word, but I mean, just being a female, just walking to your car, you hold your keys differently. You hold them in a way where they could become a weapon. It's different everyday things of, like, you know, walking out of the grocery store, looking behind your back. So it's something that it's expected, but I think it's something that a lot of us female are, like, taught that, hey, this, you know, could happen. Just be aware, be vigilant. And then as far as, like, the crypto space, you know, just the harassment that could happen with that too. All you could do is just either just ignore it or kill it with kindness. But with such a male dominant place, I would probably say I grew up with brothers, and then not only that, I also went into industries that were male dominated as well. One of my previous roles was being an EMT, and, you know, they also have a small portion of just females in that industry as well. So you work with a lot of policemen, a lot of other firemen and EMTs, paramedics, and you get an insight of the male psyche. And it helps, but, you know, you're still, at the end of the day, you're still a woman. You're still vulnerable for all of these. But I think if you're just who you are, and you hold your values and your morals, and you treat people with respect, I think that's going to mirror back. So that's what I try to do.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I feel like you do a great job. I mean, considering there's not a ton of females in the space, I feel like you're a really outstanding role model for, you know, females who are just getting started in this space. And you know, I would have guessed that you've, you know, spent some time around guys, because it seems like you are very confident. You have a very, like, you know, good way of going about yourself. And you also don't, like, tolerate any bullshit or, like, play any games or anything, which, you know, I feel like that's the right way to do it. You know, anything online, though, I feel like is, you know, you almost can't even prevent stuff like exactly what you're saying. Like, you know, there's no safeguards on crypto voxels. You can't lock someone out of your home. And, you know, just over this weekend, I got a bot or, like, a scammer or someone like pretending to be me. I was, like, hit up at, like, midnight, and it was like, yo, there's, like, a fake Rizzle on the loose, like, hitting people up in, like, multiple Discords, and, like, even using, like, enough language like me that if you didn't talk to me, like, all day, every day, you might be able to get, like, you know, a conversation going or something, which, you know, on the one hand, I got to admit, I'm, like, a little bit flattered.
Well, what's that quote that they say? Like, impersonation is the best form of
flattery or something, like that. Yeah, exactly. So part of me is like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, someone actually went out of their way to impersonate me. And, like, a fairly, like, you know.
They kind of did a good job, because I thought you were, they messaged me too. And I thought, you know, you were asking me for help. I'm like, yeah, what's up?
Right? And, no, I know.
Yeah.
It's fairly, well, so that was the other side of it. I'm like, okay, on the one hand, I'm kind of flattered. It doesn't seem like anyone got scammed and figured it out. But on the other hand, I'm like, yo, this is sort of like some creepy shit, right? They, like, know who I talk to. They, like, you know, have paid enough attention to sort of, like, note the way I communicate with people online. And, you know, it's obviously the internet, crypto and everything is the Wild West in a lot of ways like that. So really, really grateful to hear that, you know, the audience in Token Smart has been respectful, and, you know, hope they continue to be. But, you know, our shit is blowing up, and
yeah, it is
largely thanks in part to you and the job you've been doing since you've, you know, got on here. But I feel like we sort of hatched this idea together a couple weeks ago, and we're like, you know, let's start giving more of these people a platform to do their thing without really knowing what shape it was going to take. And I don't think anyone did, including the people who were hopping on and giving this a shot. What are some of the things that stick out on your end, or some of the shows or whatever? Like, we've got so much stuff going on. What have been some of your favorite things that have popped up in our Discord recently?
Okay, Who What Wearable. I love,
yes,
Lola Roses and Avocado. Like, they're doing such a great job in putting all of those fashionistas and fashion metaverse world.
Oh shit, the competition ends tomorrow, I think, right? December 8th.
My gosh, no.
Damn, hold on, I gotta get on that.
I started mine and it's truly ugly, and I don't know what everybody's doing, because they're doing such cute, amazing, beautiful work, and it's like, come on guys, this is ugly. This is the ugly vest sweater Christmas competition. So as far as I know, I'm winning. You guys have to see the horrible job that I'm doing, but yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so giddy right now, because I totally forgot, and I totally wanted to impress everybody and actually do a beautiful job. So far, I still have the ugly vest.
Nice. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail that conversation. Who What Wearable is definitely killing it, and their contest for people, this will be dropped at the listening party tonight. So for people listening, make sure you hop on that channel in our Discord, and it's pinned at the top, the template. So all you got to do is pop it into Magic Voxels and make something uglier than Sandy.
Yeah, mine's really ugly, guys. So, I mean, everything has been. Everybody has done such a great job. I really think of us as, you know, this beautiful tree, and out of this tree, new branches come out and, you know, bloom, and then everybody else is still, we're just creating this beautiful garden, and everybody is just a beautiful, you know, beautiful part of a branch that we created. And not only that, it's just blooming. It's beautiful. So, everybody's killing it.
No, I agree. And, you know, the other one that pops up, I mean, you're right. Everybody is killing it. And literally, I mean, I feel like almost everything, we're almost approaching triple digits in almost everybody's thing at any time of the day. It doesn't even seem to matter. Like, you know, people just want to hang out and do the things that we're doing. And the one who I really had no idea how this was going to take shape was Dab Dragons, because, you know, yes, he's been lurking, not lurking, participating,
he's
and
been
hanging
approving
out.
Everything.
Yeah, yes, correct. He's been approving everything for years. And, you know, had no idea what sort of shape his show was going to take. But I'm like, you know, dude is everywhere and has been such a huge supporter of ours, and he's interested. So, like, why not give him a shot to do his own thing? And it turns out his own thing is like nothing, really. It's but it's like, awesome.
It's nothing and everything all in one.
Yeah. And I was saying to him, you know, And Matt and I have been racking our brains for a long time of how to best go about getting people to turn their mics on, like at the whip and like afterwards. And Show has done a great job as well of engaging people afterwards. Yes. And that's, you know, one of the things we've been trying to do is sort of set aside some time for people to just chill and like unmute their mics and just sort of talk and bullshit and, you know, discuss what's been going on that day. And somehow Dab Dragon has been able to do that like more successfully than anybody. And I think it's exactly because the fact that his show doesn't really have a format. He's like very disarming in the way that he talks to people. He's just sort of like chilling. It seems like he's not in any rush to like get anything done or like, you know, do anything specific. And somehow that culture has, you know, enticed people to just sort of unmute themselves and hang out. And now, like, all of a sudden we actually have this like regular hangout session where people just sort of chill and discuss whatever the hell's going on in the crypto scene.
And I think that's what it is. It's like so comfortable. That's what it is. It's a hangout. It's no stress. No, it's just hanging out.
I think you were the one who said like Dab Dragon seems like Token Smart's uncle or something.
Yeah.
Like,
like, he's the uncle.
He is.
All of us are family here.
Right. No, he does. It just seems like, you know, every Tuesday, hang out for a little while with Uncle Dad, see what he's doing. You know, he's probably either just making himself some coffee or pouring himself a drink and getting ready to kick his feet up and chill with the fam or whatever.
That's exactly how I picture
him. Right? That's how, if it's not, that's how I want to believe it is in my head. But then on the other side of the coin, you know, we had the NFT Dev Saloon thing, which was like, sort of like, on the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of like a very well organized, like high developer level conversation. But the place was rocking for that as well. And I think you and I, Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong, are sort of on the same wavelength in terms of like, I appreciate a lot of stuff that's going on in this space, but I don't really speak developer lingo. I mean, I grasp bits and pieces of it, but
same. Yeah.
Right. But it seemed like there was a healthy appetite for that as well, based on, you know, my lurking. What did you see on your end?
I think so too. I think people are just open to new ideas, and they're starting to see, okay, you know, I could be a collector. How can I create? And I think it starts with the developers. So it's a nice look. Inside look into what's going on in their brains and what they're thinking, what they're doing, what they're coming up with. So definitely the language is a little bit different, but Steve did an amazing job of, like, you know, any abbreviations that the speakers were using without anyone asking was like, okay, well, this means this and this means that. So I think this last NFT Saloon was a success, and we can't wait for the next one.
Steve's hustling too. Yeah. It sounds like he's already got like at least two more rounds of speakers lined up, and I'm, you know, just sort of sitting back here. I'm like, oh shit, look at Zoo Token Steve, man. Look, like, basically that, like building up the developer whip, like, you know, on our channel in real time or whatever.
He's got to get Nate Alex in there.
I think it's imminent.
Trislet.
Right. Yeah. No, totally. And, you know, has reached out about, like, but, you know, kicking the idea around of doing a live one at the Token Smart conference in Vegas when that happens.
Ooh, yeah.
It's cool. It's cool to have Steve on board and very passionate about doing that. And actually, he reminds me a lot of Jonathan from Bitrees, because I feel like he's also just like,
yes,
speaks mm-hmm. developer very thoroughly, and is also like super passionate just about like getting involved and doing things. And I don't have that like knowledge background to really like coordinate those events or know how to like get the conversation flowing or whatever.
You know what? I always shoot myself, because back in like my freshman year of college, I was so into MySpace and I was really into coding, and, you know, I went a different route, and till this day, I'm like, I could have been a developer, but it's never too late. So yeah.
Never too late. This was destined, though, Sandy. I believe you belong more with a mic in your hand than a keyboard, and maybe it's some combination of the two. But I had the same thoughts, where sometimes you see people doing something, you know, in the crypto art space or whatever, and you're just like, shit. If I, like, I had thought of that, I could have probably totally executed that, but someone just got to the idea first, or, you know, has a little bit more know-how to pull this thing off, or something like that.
Yeah. So you know what I do want to mention, though, off topic? Okay, you did mention that this community sometimes feels like a frat party and stuff like that. And I do want to mention to everybody, like, there's a situation that happened, and we like playing around, and please, when we use caps, it doesn't mean we're like, I'm actually not yelling, and I'm speaking for myself too, because I'm not yelling at anybody. Like, when I'm writing in caps, everyone, I'm just being sarcastic. That's like my way of being sarcastic in typing world. So
did someone accuse you of yelling up? Dude, I'm obviously just as guilty as you are, if not more so.
Nobody accused me, but I just feel so bad sometimes, where it's like anybody who feels like, you know, they got offended or anything, just know we're not yelling. We're just being like sarcastic or using like a different tone of voice when I use caps lock. Yeah.
It's probably worth clarifying because you know, I've just offended someone this past week by like announcing my very, you know, that everyone needs to follow protocol and listen to all questions must be routed through show. And, you know, this, sometimes I think about this, right? Because, you know, you got to think like when the whip started and when all this stuff started, there was only a handful of us at all these things, right? And so we got like very comfortable with each other and there's a lot of like goofy banter. And I think in a lot of ways, I think that's one of the things that people enjoy is because it does have like a loose, like fun family type of environment to it. And I think people feel free to sort of let their personalities show. I'm guilty of offending a couple people over various points of the whip by, you know, just
stop offending people. that would be me in caps lock.
I know, exactly. And so, you know, I do like to think that everyone knows that our intentions are good and everything, but I do struggle, you know, sometimes I'm like, you know, all these speakers from these very professional projects have shown up to present to a very large audience. And, you know, we're making Pope jokes and sharding.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
In the chat box. And, you know, I don't know, maybe that like pushes some people away or like, you know, makes them feel like we're not taking this very seriously. But, you know, our attendance has also been growing from week to week. And, you know, this is, you know, I don't know. People might.
They're just coming back for the popes.
Right. I mean, in real life, and, you know, Jim knows and Matt knows because they were with me at NFT NYC and a couple other people, NoShot and Connie, we were all sort of hanging out together. And I'm like very much a back of the classroom, like cracking jokes type of like person at these things, you know, paying attention, but like also sort of like running my mouth on the side, which sort of carries over into Discord. And then sometimes I'm like, shit, man, maybe there's like 300 people watching me like crack this Pope joke and like, you know.
But that's like the best.
It doesn't always hit with everybody, maybe. I don't know. But the strategy has always been to just sort of like let it rip and see what happens. And I feel like it's gotten us to this point. So I don't know. Haven't pushed away too many people.
Doing something right.
Doing something right. Right. And yeah. So let's let the people know what we're cooking up. We got a couple holiday things that we're teasing around. It seems like Bitrees is down to do another Christmas thing from what you gathered.
Yeah, they're down. Yes.
It's so dope.
I can't wait.
That crew is great. And Ian murdered the whip set.
Oh my gosh, that voice made me cry.
You got the special shout out. You didn't know a lot of you, but you did get a special shout out. And I was low key jealous.
Listen, not everybody could be the Sandy Meows.
No, hey, that's why we teamed up with you. No joke. No, Ian crushed that. And then I was sort of thinking over the weekend, you know, so there's no whip that Christmas Eve is on a Thursday and New Year's Eve is on a Thursday. And so a while ago we decided like, we're not going to twist people's arms to make them work holidays or anything, even though this is like a fun event. But, you know, running into the same situation as Thanksgiving, where it's like, people are going to want to hang out. They're going to want to do some holiday thing. So we're going to get Bitrees back in the loop and we'll do like some sort of, you know, holiday event that hopefully we can get the feast off the wall and on the floor.
Oh, I hope then. So.
It seems like it'll happen. And then I was really regretting, then I'm like, shit, New Year's Eve is a Thursday and gonna definitely want to hang out with everybody that day. So I was sort of regretting not having the whip and the Met Olympics. But then at the same time, I'm like, I'm not gonna want to coordinate that all that week either. So what could we do in lieu of that, that would be fun, but not take like a ton of coordinating or anything. And I was like, you know, what would I most like to be able to do New Year's Eve? And, you know, I was thinking to myself, probably just kiss 2020 goodbye. And,
goodbye.
Right. And move on and hang out with people that I would normally want to be hanging out with anyway, but not in some like formal capacity. So I was like, why don't we just do like a music festival, like the Token Smart 2020, get the fuck out, music
festival. Oh my God, I love it. That's the name.
Right? And we just do it like a regular music festival. We'll just do it. Anyone who wants to play a set can pick a time and we'll, you know, carve out that time for them in the Discord. And we could just have rolling sets of music, you know, all day and all night for as many people who want to play. And I wasn't sure if anyone would be like totally down with the idea. So started hitting a couple people up, and it seems like Jose and his buddies are gonna, are down to play. Vandal, from Dow Records is gonna DJ a set and gonna hit up the rest of the Dow Records people to see who wants to get involved. I know right before this call, Sandy, you said that, Mighty 3-3 got back to you and is down to play.
He is down to play. Yes.
Yes. So I feel like it's coming together, and, you know, more so, I feel like there's a time and a place for, like, you know, project presentations and that kind of thing. But I'm like, New Year's Eve, like,
we just want to party. We just want to have
Let's just party. Like, who cares if it has anything to do with crypto or like NFT? Like, just fucking party and get all these people in our Discord and post dancey GIFs, and we'll like make it rain. And, you know, if anyone from Token Smart or any of our like current community leads in our Discord want to hop on the mic periodically and play like, you know, NFT land, Token Smart Dick Clark, and do some announcing or whatever, right? We can do that too. I think it'll be really fun, and I think we can have like a super cool, like laid back, you know, environment where, you know, I'm not doing anything really that day other than avoiding work. But what I would love to do is, you know, just sort of turn my computer on, turn the speakers up, and just leave that thing on for, you know, the music festival all day. And I can, you know, sort of hop in and chime in every now and again if needed, or, you know, make a Pope joke in the chat box. but that's like ideally what I want to do. And it seems like, you know, we've got enough people showing up that, you know, it seems like word is spreading amongst these musicians who have been playing that, you know, I was thinking the other day, like, you know, at least in the US, where can you show up anywhere and play in front of 100 people, like, you know, on the fly, like basically nowhere, right? It seems like. So that's the idea that we're going to try and manifest, and we're going to try and organize it between now and then so that we don't have to do anything.
So this is definitely an open call. If you're a musician, please reach out to us. We would love to hear your music.
Yeah. Or or a, I don't know, or a vocalist, or like, I guess that's or like a stand-up
comedian,
or I don't know, man. Right.
Oh my gosh, a stand-up comedian. Wow. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, or like, you know, you got a pet that wants to do tricks on the live
stream. Oh my
God. You know, I guess it doesn't have to be a music festival.
Right? Listen, if you have a pet that wants to do
yeah
a show, we are down for that.
We could just call it the Token Smart 2020 get the fuck out total clusterfuck, you know, of acts and, you know, weird things going on. We can keep it super super loose. But, you know, actually we had kicked around the idea of doing a stand-up comedy thing a long time ago, and I think it was Matt actually who made a great point in saying that in its current iteration, this would be very tough to do stand-up comedy in, or you'd have to be very brave just because there's no like live audience providing you real-time feedback. And so, you know, you're not always knowing whether your jokes hit or like how to play off the crowd or, you know, those kinds of things that you may get in like a stand-up comedy club or in some different venue or.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, if you want to be the guinea pig, you're welcome to do it. But yeah, I guess that's the opening call for any and all acts who want to do a thing. New Year's Eve, 12:31, we're going to have some epic run of strange things going on. So if you're stuck inside for COVID and need to just stockpile some beer and hang out with the fam, it seems like we'll be here and it should be dope.
It's going to be dope.
um, So Sandy, I don't want to keep you. I really appreciate you sitting down and doing this special episode with me. We should absolutely have you on more often to talk about all the things going on in the NFT 42 and Token Smart. Anything else you want to hit on before we wrap it up here?
Just a huge thank you to you, to Jim, to the community, and for having me. This is like my first ever podcast thingy, so I feel very honored. Thank you. And just want to remind everybody, like, shout out to Easy. He's always everywhere, so shout out to the Easy Listening Party. We're really grateful to have him here with us, and look forward to the Avastars giveaway party that we're having tomorrow. Make sure that you either give a mini bio of her or copy and paste one of yours and telling us which trait they have in common. So a lot of stuff happening. Tomorrow's also Dab Dragon, and oh my gosh, should I give them the whole list of what's going on?
Yeah, sure, give them the list if you got it.
Okay, this is what's going on.
Yeah,
later, right now, happening right now, Easy Listening Party tomorrow.
What up, everybody?
What up? And then we have tomorrow in the AM Avastars giveaway party, followed by the Dab Dragging Hangouts. Then Wednesday, we have the Sandy Meow's listening party of the Mars, Matthew, and Rizzo show. And on Thursday, of course, we have the Whip Meta Olympics. Friday, we have this awesome thing with Flux, Metageist, and Who What Wearable. So all the times and everything will be posted in all the links and in the hashtag weekly schedule on the Discord channel.
Yeah. Right on. So honored to for this to be the first podcast that you've been on. In my head, I've tried to like solidify myself with you and Easy so that when you guys both go on to be like massive crypto celebrities, that I get some credit for where you guys like got into your niche and everything. So that's why I had Easy on too. I'm like trying to get all the credit when you guys get really famous.
Thanks. I love
for
it.
For real, Sandy, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate all the hard work you've put in, and let's keep killing it.
Let's kill it.
Yeah. Awesome.